deal with, yeah, he's not easy to deal with. And he's always had a bit of a reputation as a hothead, right? And maybe not the best teammate in the world. But there is just a huge difference between that and what he's being accused of now. And look, when you look at the entire situation here, right, there are still all these facts to be gathered. But what was implied on Friday is very different from what the Globe wrote today. And the truth, of course, is going to be somewhere in the middle. And you couldn't expect the Globe to come out and, you know, essentially say, you know what, the Red Sox, they knew. Because that would be saying, you know what, we knew. They're one and the same, especially in the eyes of the people of the city of Boston. The Globe and the Red Sox are essentially extensions of one another. They're owned by the same leadership, the same ownership, and the caller's right. You know, when you look at the Red Sox, their desire to be so PR conscious is actually hurting the team PR-wise because it is so it's so vapid, it's so see-through. All right. It's so transparent. It doesn't matter. People can see through their act when it comes to their desire to be, you know, this PR conscious team and sort of limit the words that are spoken about them. And they only want to be painted in a particular light. I get that. That's why the Red Sox would never have come out, even if they did know. Not ever would they have come out and said, you know what, we're cutting Hanley. Unfortunately, there's something there and there's some ties to drugs and we can't have that be part of our organization. If that's what you wanted the Red Sox to say, they would never, ever, ever do such a thing. They are selling their product to kids and families. The last thing they want to be associated with is heroin and fentanyl and street drugs like that. They want no part of that. And unfortunately, you know, Hanley's been such a big part of what this team's done the last 3 or 4 years. And no, you know, he didn't win a World Series with the team, but he's on World Series contending type teams. And this year, this team has got one goal and one goal only, and that is to make a World Series. He was on back-to-back teams that, you know, won 93 games. So he was a big part of successful teams here that had larger goals in mind, right? So he's not some minimal player at the end of your bench that you can let go of quietly. Because he was such an impactful player on the field and such a big personality off the field, it's got to be addressed and it's got to be handled and it's delicate and it's going to continue to be delicate until all...
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Swinging a high drive center field deep. Back goes Heredia. Back to the warning track. Looking up. It is gone. On the hitter's backdrop. Dead center field. Home run. Mitch Moreland. And the Red Sox now lead it 5-0.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Mariners.
The 1-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Sale got him for his 13th strikeout of the game. Chris Sale has punched out 13. He's kept the Mariners off the board.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Patrick Gilroy.
Hour number 3, Red Sox Review right here. Sports Radio WEEI. Patrick Gilroy with you guys until 7 o'clock this evening. Number to join me here, 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we will talk a little bit of hoops before the program is over. Got a couple of Celtics thoughts that I have to get off my chest today. I have to. Robert Williams, new member of the Boston Celtics. There's been a lot of hype around him. We'll talk about the Celtics number one draft pick this year and why I think, look, he's a good player. All the tools are there, but I think he's missing a little something upstairs. We'll talk about that. And we'll also talk about the potential addition of Dwight Howard, you know, and quickly on Dwight Howard. And we're going to get back to the Red Sox and Hanley in a second. But I want you guys to think about this because when we talk about Dwight Howard, I need to get your opinions here. This Celtics team is going to be very, very close to being a championship-level team. They're going to be very close to knocking on the door of the level of a Golden State. And I've always been advocating for minimal changes. I want to see that starting lineup that we had in Cleveland last October come back for the Celtics this year. But you look at Aaron Baines, and I think he brought a lot to the Celtics. But you look at his overall numbers, and in 19 minutes a night, he averaged 6 points and 5 rebounds a game. Now, what if you could improve upon that with a guy that averaged 16 points a game and 13 rebounds a game last year in 30 minutes a night? We know he comes with baggage. Dwight Howard does not come without a tremendous amount of baggage. But at 32 years old and maybe able to see his basketball mortality in front of him for the first time in his career, Is that a guy worth kicking the can on? Is that a guy that could potentially give the Celtics a dynamic advantage over a team like the Golden State Warriors? Think about that. We'll talk about it before the program's over tonight, because I'm trying to talk myself into and or out of Dwight Howard. It's keeping my head running in circles. I went through this last year as well when Dwight was available. I've always loved the player on the court. Can't stand the person off the court. And I'm hoping, maybe I'm hoping too much here, and maybe I'm being unrealistic. But I do think that at 32 years old, and a guy coming off a season like he had last year for the Charlotte Hornets, he might be a guy that could give the Celtics just the edge that they need to get them over the top in their quest to win their 18th championship. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later in the program. Until then, we'll return to your phone calls on this entire Hanley Ramirez story that has continued to sort of change and take on a life of its own over the course of the last couple of hours. All weekend long, the Boston Globe was being criticized and killed for staying away from the story since it broke on Friday night. Michelle McPhee breaking it here on WEI along with Ken Laird. And what's happened since then? Michelle's been everywhere on the radio, and with good reason. It's a damn good story, and she had more details than anybody else was willing to go live with, so to speak. But now those details come into question today. Now those details are being contradicted by the story coming out of the Boston Globe, and therefore by association coming from the Red Sox. So you can paint what they wrote today on the website as them being very responsible journalists and waiting until they had their facts straight to go to print with something. And that's how they're going to sort of take this story. They're going to turn it in that direction. Rather than the story being that the Globe stayed quiet for 48 hours, the story is going to be that the Globe worked on this story for 48 hours. And now the story that you're getting from the Globe very quickly is that, yes, Hanley had a friend. Hanley's friend had his car and used his name when he was pulled over with the fentanyl in the car. Tried to get himself out of trouble by dropping Hanley's name to the cop. The cop was unimpressed. The FaceTime call that we've all heard so much about was in fact real, was in fact true. The other part to that call that we didn't hear about this weekend was that the FaceTime call was actually Hanley's friend dialing his number and putting him on the phone with the cop that had pulled him over. The cop asked Hanley for permission to open the box in the back of the car that contained the fentanyl, and Hanley gave the cop permission to do so. And Hanley's friend then saying, look, I used Hanley's name here, officer. I was trying to get out of trouble, but really, it's all me. Hanley's got nothing to do with this. So there are some important details to the story, if they are to be believed, that the Globe reported on today. And almost immediately after the Globe published this story, Hanley's agent came out to back up the Globe story. What do you guys think? Is there truth here, or is Hanley more directly involved than the Globe is letting on, than essentially the Red Sox are letting on? Because, again, I am a big believer in perception being an incredibly powerful thing. And to me, regardless of where the truth really lies here, Hanley's name has already been drugged through the mud. Hanley's name is already perceived to be associated with fentanyl, opiates, heroin. It's a bad look for the Red Sox, and an especially bad look for Hanley Ramirez. What do you guys think? It's 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we go. Let's go to Dan. Dan's in Springfield. Dan, you're next up here on Red Sox Review.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean, if Hanley's going to be responsible for this, how come McKesson, how come all the big drug companies aren't responsible for this? Because they're the ones who create these drugs. And then they put them out on the streets because they got an excess of them. And they pump them in their small communities that are poor. And then they make them deal that. That's what they do. They've been doing that for years because they have an excess of drugs that they're creating all the time.
Dan, slow down. I want to talk to you. Okay, so are you telling me that, let's take Purdue Pharma, that they introduced OxyContin to the world 20 years ago. You're telling me that Let me finish. You're telling me that there's a Purdue Pharma employee, a Purdue Pharma rep that goes into, say, Mattapan and drops off multiple cases because they've got an excess? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I'll go farther than that, and I think that has to do with our government and all that, and the CIA, and they drop these things off just like they did with crack cocaine with, the rapper's name, who they're all the time I'm hustling and all that. The guy there in L.A., they dropped off crack cocaine there, And they do this with people.
This is interesting, Dan, but I can't go down this road because, again, it's not factually based. And maybe I'm way off here. Maybe I know nothing. You know, maybe this is an area that I need to study more. And if I do, we'll have the conversation then, Dan. But I can't go down this road that even if Hanley was responsible for this drug ring, that ultimately he's not responsible for it because the government supplied the fentanyl anyways. Like, I can't wrap my head around that. And maybe you guys can. Maybe I'm just a dummy. But I can't go down that road. I don't think that these drug companies are innocent bystanders in this whole thing. I certainly believe that Purdue Pharma 20, 25 years ago knew that they were pushing potentially lethal and addictive drugs onto the world. I absolutely believe that. And if you go back, and it's funny, go back and Google this stuff and go back and look at the first commercials for, say, OxyContin that came out in the mid to late 90s and look at the pamphlets. They're all online that the Purdue Pharma Company produced and gave to the doctor's offices all around the world. All right. What did they say? They said one of the highlights of this breakthrough pain treatment drug was that it's not addictive. Right. That was what they played up on the first iteration of OxyContin when it came out. Little did people know that when the drug companies started really selling the fact that they weren't addictive, that all these people were going to wind up becoming addictive, and it was going to ruin millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of lives, right? And it's essentially heroin made in labs. Like, that's what it is. And I get that. So Dan, I'm with you to a certain extent. I don't think that the drug companies are innocent bystanders in all of this, but I do not believe that at the end of the month, you know, they look at the factory and they say, oh, geez, you know, we got 400 cases that are going to expire next month, so we got to go drop them off in Mattapan and in Lowell. Like, I don't believe that. So I won't take it to that next level. But I will say this, yeah, the drug company certainly played a big part in getting America addicted to opiates. And the overall opiate problem that we have here in America started with companies that like Purdue Pharma that were just trying to make money and push pills on Americans. I get that. I am with you there. I just can't take it to that next level. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Red Sox Review. I am Patrick Gilroy. Let's squeeze in one more before the break. Let's go to Jim. Jim's in Florida. Jim, you're next up here on WEI. Jim.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, Jim?
The association with Hanley being involved with a drug dealer. And now I'm kind of confused with what you guys are saying. Whose car was it? Was it, like, Hanley's car? Gave them permission to open the box?
So that's been a different point in this story. And, Kyle, do you know back there, we know that the box inside the car was potentially Hanley's, right? Or is that's what the friend was saying, that the box belonged to Hanley. But the car itself. Do we know who owned that car? Because originally it was reported that it was Hanley's car. And I didn't see that being contradicted in the most recent report. So we'll check that. But I will say this, Jim, that the box in the car is what really is in play here. And originally the friend had told the officer that the box belonged to Hanley. And that's why the officer asked Hanley through the FaceTime phone call for permission to open that box. Hanley gave him permission to open the box and said, look, it's not mine. I don't know what's in it. Go for it, officer. You can open the box. The cop did. He found the fentanyl. And then the friend said to the officer, look, you know what? I dropped Hanley's name to try and get myself out of trouble. Hanley's got nothing to do with this.
But we know that he said that immediately at the scene.
That's what's being reported now, again.
Okay.
But, you know, this story.
If you think about this, this guy, Hanley Ramirez, is worth millions, and he's got this drug dealer's guy FaceTiming. I mean, I got family members that don't like the FaceTime. I mean, never mind. This guy can just call out of the blue while he's getting arrested, and here's Hanley answering the phone. Close are they, and why is he involved with this guy, you know?
And that's a point that's got to be looked at here. Like, the Red Sox and the Globe are going to try and keep Hanley as far away from that drug dealer as possible in all their stories, but you're absolutely right. If the guy's got him on speed dial, there's got to be some sort of an association there.
Right, and if he's on speed dial, that's definitely a reason why the Red Sox immediately want to disassociate themselves with him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if this guy's got these type of people in his phone and we're going to have this issue dragged through the whole summer and the whole season, I don't want nothing to do with it.
You know? Yeah, you're right, Jim. And look, that's what makes it really interesting here. Kyle, did you find something about the car?
Yeah, so it says that this is not Hanley's Jeep, but the guy that was pulled over, this was his Jeep.
Okay, good. So not Hanley's Jeep either. That was another point that came up all weekend long was, some people were saying it was Hanley's car. And so ultimately the story continues to change. The story is fluid. I firmly expect people tomorrow, reporters tomorrow, to be at the courthouse to get their hands on the original paperwork and the original documentation, the original reports that were written in the aftermath of that April arrest, just to see how involved Hanley is and if his name is really all over these reports. But again, if you're to believe what the Globe and therefore by association what the Red Sox are saying, Hanley's involvement was little to none. Hanley didn't know. Hanley wasn't a part of this. And Hanley's friend just tried to drop a celebrity's name, essentially, to get himself out of trouble. I'm not sure if I believe it, but I'm trying to believe it because I would like to think that a guy that I've rooted for and rooted for pretty hard over the last few years. Don't forget, I'm the guy that on late night the last month has been advocating, for Hanley Ramirez and questioning why the Red Sox DFA'd the guy. I hated the move. I've always believed in Hanley, and I was excited that Hanley was getting himself on the TB12 method. And we all saw him at the Bruins. It was the Bruins playoff game this year, drinking water in the booth and not in the luxury box and not having the bad-for-you snacks and Tom Brady saying nice things about Hanley taking part in the TB12 program. I was hopeful that Hanley was going to have a monster year this year, and then in April he had a great month, and I thought that he was going to be a great year for Hanley, and ultimately the year took a turn, and it continues to take many strange turns, and it will turn some more over the next day, 2 days, 3 days, and months, and potentially years, because these stories and these type of drug arrests, they go deep and they go wide, okay? They go in two directions. And this net that's been cast is going to continue to bring more and more people in who are going to talk to get themselves out of trouble. So if Hanley really is involved, this won't be the first time and it won't be the last time that we hear his name associated with this story and this drug ring. It's something to think about here as we move forward. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Red Sox Review. Room for you guys at 617-779-7937.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Surprise, but, I heard it, I read it, and, I guess people are going to ask me about it, the only thing that, the organization didn't know about this, and I didn't know about this. Our decision was made basically on baseball, baseball related. And, I hope it's not true.
Red Sox manager right there, Alex Cora, after Friday night's game, giving his opinion on the Hanley Ramirez situation. And look, here's my only difficulty with everything that's sort of broken over the weekend and what's broken here in the last couple of hours on the program. Right. So you've got the Globe coming out contradicting everything that we've heard all weekend long. And then you've got Hanley's agent coming out and contradicting everything. And essentially both of them coming together and painting Hanley Ramirez as a victim in this situation, saying that Hanley's friend simply dropped his name to avoid trouble when the cop pulled him over. And if that is true, and I, for Hanley's sake and for the Red Sox sake, I hope it is. I really do. The Red Sox don't. This is no joke. This isn't a sort of a fun story where I can say, I hope the Red Sox are involved. It'll give me stuff to talk about here all summer long. It'll provide content for radio people. No, I don't want that because we're talking about people dying. We're talking about people's lives in the balance here. We're talking about some of the worst, most addicting drugs known to man. And we're talking about taking some of the most addicting drugs that already exist in heroin and making them super potent by adding fentanyl to them, or in some cases, people are getting straight-up fentanyl because it's much cheaper these days, and drug dealers are passing that off as well. And people are dying, and they're dying at a historic clip because of it. So, yeah, a lot of times when you've got these screwed-up stories that have multiple sides to them, you'll hear the radio host say something like, I hope the story plays out because it'll be good for business. I don't care about this being good for business. I really do. I hope that the Red Sox have no association, and I hope that Hanley Ramirez comes out having no association. However, the part of this that I have trouble wrapping my head around, and the caller brought it up in the previous segment, is for this guy to be able to call Hanley on FaceTime as he was being pulled over means a couple of things. It means, A, he's got Hanley's phone number. Now, as a radio guy that does part-time work, okay, I'm not a radio star, and I probably never will be, all right? I'm a guy that's been a journeyman in this career for a long time, okay? But most people don't have a clue and don't care about who I am. But if you went through my cell phone, you'd find some really big names, because over the years I've been lucky enough to have some very important, significant sports figures on my program, okay? Whether it's at this station or the multitude of other stations that I've worked at, all right? And if you're impressed by, you know, NBA names or specifically Celtic Hall of Famer names, you'd be blown away. But if I were to call up one of those guys on FaceTime right now, all right? Let's take Bob Cousy, for example. I've got Cousy's cell phone and his home phone in my cell phone right now. His home phone in Florida, where he spends winters, and his cell phone number. If I were to call Bob Cousy right now, I promise you one thing. He's not going to answer the phone. He's got no idea who Patrick Gilroy is. I'm just a dude that interviewed him a couple of years ago and put his phone number in my phone. Okay? So Hanley Ramirez, he's got somebody out there that's dealing fentanyl in massive, massive doses of it. Like, we're talking about a big-time drug dealer with Hanley's number in his phone. That's one thing. But it's an entirely different thing for Hanley to then pick up the call. So that means that these guys are close. This wasn't a surprise to Hanley when his friend called. All right? So that's the only part of this I'm having trouble wrapping my head around. This guy was important enough to Hanley for Hanley to pick up the FaceTime call. Therefore, there's something there. And if he's calling him then as he's pulled over, is he somebody that Hanley talked to in the clubhouse often? Is he somebody that would show up to Fenway and, you know, maybe sit in the family and friends section? There's a lot of this story that's yet to be told and that's yet to be broken. But to me, there is a certain amount of guilt by association here, even if Hanley had nothing to do with the fentanyl distribution, with the crack cocaine distribution that this case is coming down to. There's some guilt by association, and Hanley needs to know better, and professional athletes need to know better. You cannot be associated with these people. I don't care if they're even your childhood friends. You know, you can't do it because you've got too much to lose. And once again, an athlete made a poor personal decision in his life to associate himself with questionable people, and now that athlete has already had his name dragged through the mud. So whether he's truly guilty and a part of this operation or not, he's already sort of attached to it because of the people that he's chosen to associate himself with. And that, to me, is something that is it's just a stupid mistake. And these guys continue to make these stupid mistakes, and they're not able to disassociate themselves with people that they know and their handlers know and their advisors know that Hanley probably shouldn't be hanging out with people like this, whether Hanley's involved in the drug side of the operation or it's strictly just a friendship. So it is Sports Radio, WEEI. It is Red Sox Review. I am Patrick Gilroy, continuing to take your phone calls on Hanley Ramirez, the news that came out this afternoon that essentially says that Hanley was not involved and his friend just used his name to get out of trouble, and where you guys think the truth lies in this story. Because if you listened over the last 48 hours, what you heard is something very, very different from what the Boston Globe came out with today, and now Hanley's agent came out with today. So we'll continue to take your reaction, get your thoughts at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we go. Let's go to Fred. Fred, you're next up here on Sports Radio, WEI.
Hi, how are you today, Patrick?
I am doing well, Fred. How are you?
Pretty good. Look, I'm a retired pharmacist. I think Hanley's a fall guy. Our federal government is responsible for all these problems. Between the drug companies, the DEA, and the Department of Justice, they've allowed distribution of these drugs on the street in massive quantities with no control and no finding of these drug distributors like Brunswick and the big companies that dispense it all over the country. It's not Hanley's fault. Hanley's a fall guy. There's many famous people that are associated with bad people, like Vic and Iverson, and they all got involved with bad people but cut them off. Unfortunately, he may have picked up the phone when he shouldn't have. He is a fall guy. Our government is responsible for these problems, not Hanley, not Boston, not any one individual in this particular area. Our federal government is completely responsible.
Fred, let me ask you a question, because you live this life. So if the government's responsible for it, then, so to speak, the genie is out of the bottle. How do you put it back in? Is there anything the government can do at this point to control this?
Yes, they can. they can find these major drug suspicions, massive quantities of money that they won't do it. They can also take them to court. There's many court cases that are being held by the Department of Justice. I work with Margaret Hassan, who is the senator of New Hampshire on opiate problems, and the government is really responsible for most of what's happening. The DEA had a drug lord in this, appointed by Trump, who was recently taken away, that allow these drug companies to manufacture these massive quantities, propose that these drugs are not addicting but really are, and allow drug distributors like Bergen Brunswick, like many of the other major distributors of these drugs, Cardinal is another one, distributes them in massive quantities all over the country with no control and no fines for what they're doing wrong.
Listen, I appreciate the phone call and the education there from somebody that lived it. And yeah, look, I don't want to get into the government's role in all of this because, I understand that the government certainly plays a role here. And whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you can find fault in every previous organization, every previous president's team of people. I'm sure that you can find fault with Bill Clinton and his administration, with George W. and his administration, with Obama and his, and now with Trump and his. I am sure that every administration has made poor decisions when it comes to these types of drugs. I'm positive of that. You've got a worldwide epidemic that is completely dominated by the United States of America. All right. When you look at the amount of opiate deaths in the U.S. versus other countries, it's not even close. So I get all that. But we're talking about what happened here locally. And we're talking about local, I guess, when compared to the major drug distributors, local small-time distribution. And to me, you cannot say that Hanley Ramirez can't be somewhat responsible here. Because if Hanley were involved with this guy at any level, all right, at any level, and played a role in this at any level, then Hanley's at fault, no matter who dumped the original massive amount of drugs on the population or who continues to drop the massive amount of drugs on the population. Somebody that's much lower down on the food chain here, and I suppose that's Hanley and or his associates, all right? So let's say Hanley's not involved, and we're just talking about the guy that was pulled over, all right, and his role in all of this. He's the guy that's got to go. He's the middleman that's got to go buy the stuff, and then he's got to go distribute it off to other people, street-level dealers that are going to sell it off and make a profit. So he is making a conscious decision to be involved in this. All right, so regardless of whether the government flooded the population with it or not is irrelevant because you're making a conscious decision to take part in the operation at hand here. You can choose not to. You can choose to go get a legitimate job. You can choose to go do something else with your time, money, effort. You don't have to go, you know, be a drug dealer. So I have a hard time blaming the government 100%. I certainly can see, I can trace it back and see how the government played a huge role in this huge epidemic that we have now. I get that. And ultimately, they've got to claim some responsibility for all of this. I get all of that. But when it comes to street-level dealers and it comes to street-level type middlemen like this, all right, you've got to own your responsibility. And if you're trying to make a quick buck and if you're trying to earn more than you're worth by doing it illegally, then quite frankly, if you get busted, you get busted. You deserve to because you're killing people and making a profit doing so, right? It's a bad decision. You know better. So ultimately, yeah, the government, they may be ultimately responsible for the overall situation that the country's in. But when we talk about this specific situation, this specific case, I can't blame the government if Hanley Ramirez is involved here. I can't make that leap. I can't do it because it's not relevant to the story at hand here. You want to have a bigger story, you want to have a bigger discussion about the formulation of the opiate problem, where it began and where it's going and how we're going to get there. We can certainly do that, but I've only got 20 minutes left in the program. So we're going to stick to Hanley and stick to his situation and how what we've heard over the last 48 hours is completely different from what the Boston Globe released about an hour ago and Hanley's agent tweeted out about an hour ago. So we come back, we'll continue with your Hanley Ramirez phone calls, and I do want to get to this real quick. Dwight Howard is available. He's going to come cheap. He's a 16-13 guy, and the Celtics are close to being a championship team. Do you want Dwight Howard as a member of your Boston Celtics next season? We'll also talk about that next at 617-779-7937.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Celtics on the clock right now, and the pick is in. Here's Adam Silver.
With the 27th pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Boston Celtics select Robert Williams III from Texas A&M University.
Final segment right here, Sports Radio, WEEI. The show sort of took on a life of its own with the Hanley information coming out midway through the show. Didn't really have an opportunity to get into what I wanted to get into with the Celtics. I'm sure we'll address it later on this week on Late Night when I make my my return here to the station in the coming days. But I got to say this. The guy they drafted has all the tools in the world, Robert Williams III. All the tools. Everything you want a big man to have. I'm just not sure he's got it all upstairs. If you want to get some insight into who Robert Williams III is mentally, find him on Twitter and read his tweets over the years. I mean, they're really something. It's something special. You'll get a chuckle out of it. Look, he's a guy that his first impression he made with the team was being late for his conference call. I'm sure that he was excited. It was the best night of his life. He went out. He partied too hard. Whatever. But again, you want to make a good first impression. He did not make that with the team or with the media. He is a guy that physically, when you guys see him in Summer League coming up in 2 weeks, you're going to think, oh my God, the Celtics have got their big man of the future. And there is a lot of comparisons to Clint Capella. And I got to say, Clint Capella is a very, very good player. He could be a difference maker on the Celtics. And if that truly is who the Celtics drafted, then they got themselves a steal. But if you're expecting a guy to come in here right away and pick up the nuances of this team's offense and defense, then you're sadly mistaken. It's going to take some time here. He's going to be the 10th, 11th man on this team, at least for the first half of the season, probably the majority of the season. Think back to Jaylen Brown's rookie year with the Celtics and how Brad Stevens used him. It wasn't until after the All-Star break that he started getting some consistent run, and it wasn't until the playoffs that he really got some consistent run game in and game out. You're going to start to see, I think, Robert Williams go down a similar timeline because he's going to have to grasp what the Celtics do defensively, and that's not going to be easy. But the question really is, will the Celtics have some additional help there? Because Dwight Howard is available. The Celtics have once again shown interest in Dwight Howard. This will be the third time in Danny Ainge's tenure here with the Celtics that he has shown interest in Dwight Howard. And Dwight Howard is coming off a season in which he averaged 16.5 and 12.5 points a game. 16.5 points, 12.5 rebounds for the Charlotte Hornets, and was healthy and played 30 minutes a night, and you can get him on the cheap. Is he somebody that interests the Boston Celtics? Because player-wise, he is certainly an upgrade over Aron Baynes, and I loved what Aron Baynes brought to this team. I don't want to see Aron Baynes go, but to me, it's one or the other. There's no need for two veteran big men on this team. So where do you spend your money? Baynes is a free agent. Dwight Howard's a free agent. If it were up to you, knowing that the Celtics are close to being in contention for a championship, which one would you rather have at 617-779-7937? Back out to the phones we go. Let's go to Rich. Rich is in the car. Rich, you're next up here on WEI.
Yeah, Patrick. I see the irony when we're talking about Hanley and we're talking about Dwight Howard. the fact that he's in his 30s makes it less likely that he's going to be a different guy than he's been up to now. And you knew it with Hanley. You knew it with J.D. Drew. Let's make a list of all the people attitudinally that could be potentially problematic were what they were in the past.
Yeah, they're not going to change now. That's the point, right, Rich?
Well, the point is it's less likely at 32 than at 22. And so you got to take – I mean, it's ironic to me that we knew this about Hanley, not this whole – fentanyl accusation, but the whole kind of attitudinal thing with Hanley. We knew it when we signed him, but they signed him anyway, okay? You knew with Pablo Sandoval that he certainly wasn't a type A personality, but you signed him anyway. And the expectation is they're going to be somebody different, and it didn't happen. And so when we're talking about Hanley, let's remember that when we talk about Howard, or even Leonard from San Antonio. I mean, do you really want to sign a guy who spent the whole year arguing or disagreeing with his club about whether he could play or not?
Well, what I'll say about that, Rich, and I'm up against it. I appreciate the call. We'll do this again this week. But what I'll say about Kawhi Leonard is what I've said about guys at his level all along. And it's if you want a transformational superstar, a transformative guy, a guy capable of putting a franchise on his shoulders – and he's in the prime of his career, and he's available. He's available for a reason. They're coming with baggage. So a guy like Kawhi Leonard, I think I would take a chance on, depending on the cost. The baggage doesn't scare me so much. My hesitation would be, I don't want to give up Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. So if it means giving up a core piece of this team, I don't want to do it, because I think that this team is good enough to compete for a championship as they're currently constituted, and they're better off making changes around the edges. However, if you are asking me if what he pulled last year in San Antonio, would that give me pause when it comes to potentially trading for a Kawhi Leonard, my answer is no. Because, again, if you're in the market for a transformative superstar in the prime of their careers, they're coming with some sort of baggage, whether that baggage is on or off the court. If they weren't coming with baggage, then they weren't going to be available to begin with. Let's go to Raj. Raj is in Somerset. Raj, finish us off here on Sports Radio WEI.
Yeah, Pat, thanks for taking my phone call. I appreciate it, buddy. Hey, great show. I just wanted to chime in a little bit in regards to what you're talking about, Hanley, and into the South. Hey, I think Williams is going to be a great big man when he gets smart. I think you're right. He's got a little bit to go. If you had watched him at all when he was in college, yeah, he's a smart guy, but I think his size is going to help him out a bit in making certain adjustments. I think he's going to be a little bit of a in the paint there. I'd take Howard in a heartbeat, man, if it's available. I think he's got great experience, good head on his shoulders. I think he'd also fit right into the system. You know, in regards to the Hanley thing, and I got to expand a little bit upon what you said about, you know,
you got to do it quick, Raj.
So, you know, when you were talking about, you know, you got the street warriors out there walking around doing the drugs.
Yep.
That's not the drugs. Can they get a different job? Yeah, they can. Of course they can. They don't get a normal job. But the fact of the matter is, how do they get there, man? How do they get there? It's the same thing. It starts with, and I know you're going to hate this, starts with the CD.
Raj, that's a conversation that we'll have to hold on to for late night when I'm back this week. I want everybody to stay tuned. ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball. It is the Phillies. It is the Nationals. It comes up next right here, Sports Radio, WEEI.